Amen. And so the Lord is just helping us so that we can receive all that he has for us. Amen. If you've got John 17, amen. If you'd like to stand, that's fine. If you'd like to be seated, we're just honoring the Lord either way as we honor the author of this book. For the past several weeks, quickly, we have been speaking about the glory of God, which is awesome in itself. To even speak about it is humbling. And the goodness of God, the splendor of God, the abundance, the riches of his glory and grace and mercy. And as you heard earlier, we have the podcast now, so you can get part one and two. As we go to part three today, you can catch up, so I won't do much reviewing, but just suffice it to say again that the church, the Spirit of God, glory in God, the Bible says, rests upon you, every one of you. Amen. Isaiah, the Lord prophesying through him, said it rests upon you. And he says the reason it does is because of Jesus in his prayer here in the 17th chapter of John. He prayed this prayer before his passion. It was his last prayer before his passion, and it was for us, for his disciples, and for all that will follow him and do follow him. And four or five verses, John 17, verse 20. We're glad for all those that may be tuning in. Amen. Some years ago, we did a short TV spot, and of course, we did radio for many years. So we thank God for bringing us back and getting the message out. Amen. We thank you for helping that and sowing into that. Let's read it, John 17, verse 20. Amen. If you got it, say, I got it. Well, I don't have it. How's that? But I got it now. I had the other one. Amen. Verse 20 says, neither pray I, Jesus is speaking, Jesus is praying here, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Do I have any believers in the house? Believing through your word, that you believe him. Amen. Neither pray I for these alone, that they all may be one. Look at this unity again. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, somebody shout the glory. Yeah, the glory, the goodness which thou gavest me, I have given them. Wow. That they may be one. Why is it given? That we may be one, even as we are one, Jesus says with the Father. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, mature, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. In other words, I love them as much as you love me. You love them just as much. That was a mind-boggler for me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. God wants you to know the goodness and his glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He wants you to know his glory, his good, to behold it, to have it, and that comes in being one. Only he can make us one. Hallelujah. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. It stands alone. It really needs no explanation. It is the word of the living God. We thank you for giving us the opportunity and having made the plan that you said, unless we preach it, how will they know? And so you've given us a part in this. Although you stand alone, you are God and there's none beside you, none like you, none equal to you. I'm humbled, Father, even by this series. Feel wholly inadequate to even speak about the glory of you, the living God. I thank you, Father, for helping me. I thank you, Lord, for speaking now. Help me to speak with clarity. Help me to speak with distinction and understanding. Help me to get what you want to them. And Father, I thank you for what you're speaking now through me, around me, and in spite of me, if need be. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for each one now. Give them your glory. Let them know the glory that has been given to them, I pray. Manifested in this service. Manifested while I speak about it. Do it while I exhort about it. Let your glory fill all their house. Your goodness fill them. and bring them into every good thing you have planned for them. Even now, I pray it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So be it. God bless you. Tell somebody before you see it, it's coming to you now. Yes, it's coming to you now. Amen. You may be seated. The glory of the Lord is rising in the house. Hear me. The glory of the Lord is rising in the house. Not just this house, but His house. The church of the living God. The glory is rising here. It's rising in other churches where Jesus is honored and glorified and magnified and worshiped. We are not the only ones. I've been hearing testimonies of what God is doing in His church. How many know it's His church? Hallelujah. And so we see unity is very important to God. How many see that? First Lady, she must have read my notes. She must have snuck in late after midnight. I don't think she did that, but she was talking about the unity, and I have it here just as we begin, Psalms 133, because unity is so very important to God. And Psalms 133, one says, behold, look at this. Look how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren and the sistren to dwell together in unity. There's no such word as sistren, but brothers and sisters. How good it is. How good is it? You will never know how good it is until you let God make you one. Amen. Amen. For there the Lord, the Bible says, it talks about the oil on Aaron's beard. It flowed down. He says, for there the Lord, there, the place of unity, the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There is something in the unity that God commands the blessing, and I tell you, you won't get the blessing until we get the unity. Yeah. Hallelujah. Can I take my coat off? I got a feeling it's going to be a hot one. Amen. I said you won't get the blessing till you get the unity. That's why He wants us to be one. Amen. There He commanded the blessing. Even life. Life. Forevermore. And so we see God dealing, and we've been watching the last couple of weeks, God dealing with His church, His people, and they're independent, self-willed, I'll do it my way if you don't mind, on my terms, spirit, which is so prevalent, come on, in our culture and society, and may I add, after almost 40 years of pastoral ministry in the church today. I may know we're all pretty independent, and we all have our way. And the Bible says, a man's ways, they're always right in his own eyes. That's interpreted, don't tell me what to do. Amen. All right. Amen, oh my. Christianity is a team event. It's a team sport, if you please. I may know no man or woman is an island. I said no man or woman is an island. And the more islander you are, the more alone you will be. I'm speaking truth right now. And the reason that we're not having more is because we have a bit too much independence. Independent is good, but not to the point where you're doing your thing versus His thing. How many know this is about doing God's thing, not my thing, not your thing, not their thing? And the beautiful thing about doing God's thing, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, when you do God's thing, and you make it about God, He will then make it about you. People say, well, it's not about you. No, that's why I've learned not to get offended when things happen. Because God told me, He said, it's not about you, so what are you getting all uptight about? Well, what they did, He said, it's not really against you, it's against me. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not about you. So what are you getting offended about? They that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Come on. And so whenever I get offended, and I do from time to time, I won't tell you who offended me because it wasn't anybody here, amen, of course. I have to go back to God and say, God, forgive me because I'm not loving your law like I should because I started to get offended. And so I repent, God, I want to love your law the way I'm supposed to. Amen. I just threw that in. That wasn't part today. I just a little bit extra there. Because Jesus says one of the signs of the last days will be that many will be offended. The first sign He mentions is offense. Now, I may know it's the number one tool of the enemy. It's the number one tool of the enemy to destroy, to break up, to hinder, whether it's marriage, church, whatever it is, job, offense. the bait of Satan, I believe. I forget the brother that did the series. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, nothing shall offend me. And if it does, I'm going to love your law, Lord, and release and let you handle it. And so we see God dealing with his church, Christianity, a team event. We're on his team. I said, we're on his team. And how many know we can't play unless we show up? Boy, that was profound. Tell three people around you, show up and let God show off. Show up. You show up, God will show off. Hallelujah. We're on his team. Amen. Toward the end of his life, Bible commentator William Barclay said this. You may have never heard of him. He said, I'm old, and I've learned that there are very few things in life that really matter. But those few things matter intensely. What are those few things? Worshiping with other believers. We're talking about the glory now. I said, we're talking about the glory. And what does the glory do? What is it? It's the goodness of God. The first mention of glory in the Old Testament was Abraham. Genesis, I believe it was 12. I'll get the verse, Genesis 13, 2. It says, Abraham was rich. The word is kavod, glory, abundance. Old Testament, New Testament was doxa. It has to do with God's opinion of you. And Jesus says, the opinion you have of me, Father, I give to them. God's thinking good things with his splendor and his goodness. How many have room to receive more of the goodness of God? Come on, talk to me. How many have not received something that you know God wants for you, but it seems to be held up and hung up? I think that's every one of us. And God is moving now with his glory to fill all the house. The anointing will do so much, but the glory will do the rest. Woo. When the glory really comes in, you'll see me on my face, and God will be looking at your face. And face to face, will bless you with what his goodness he wants. He's looking for ways to bless you. He's looking for ways to get his glory to you. But sometimes we're a little bit too independent. Amen. I know you can't say amen, but it's okay. So it's worshiping with other believers that matters and testing. Amen. Because it highlights. Somebody say highlights. Highlights those things which are important to God. How many know if you take care of what's important to God, God will take care of what's important to you? You take care of his house, he'll take care of your house. Do what he wants, and he'll make a way for you to do your heart's desire. How many know this is a two-way street? Even though you think you're the only one on the road. Smile when you say that, preacher. Amen. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, you drive like that. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, you're too stiff. Look at that next one to you and say, I'm glad he's talking about you. Go on, tell him, I'm glad he's talking about you. Those things which are important to God, he highlights it like his word, his will, his worship, his call, his grace, and his family. I mean, no, family is a team event. Tell everyone around you, family is a team event. Yeah, it's a team sport. Yeah. Yeah. In the second week of the series, we found out dramatically that the Lord is taking the church into another realm of glory. He's showing his goodness, his prosperity, and he says the happiness that he wants us to have. He doesn't want you to have joy. Joy doesn't depend on happiness. But God wants you to be happy. That is the theme this year, Psalms 128. He says, you shall eat the labor of your hands. Happy shalt thou be. And it shall be well with thee. You're not nearly as happy as God wants you to be. God's got happiness for you. Whew, I get happy just talking about it. I get happy just thinking about his happiness for you. I get happy just thinking how happy he's going to make you be. Glory to God. I just run around a little bit. I got the Holy Ghost. You know why I got the Holy Ghost all over me? Because I'm speaking truth. I'm getting a witness from the Spirit that I'm not hyping you. I'm not conning you. I'm telling you, it's God saying it. I want you happy. And you're not as happy as I would have you to be. Amen. But I'm working in your life. I'm bringing my glory to lift you, to bring to you what has not been able to come to you and what you have not been able to find. I've got it. I've got it. Whew, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost again. Tell somebody next to you, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Or sometimes I wonder what he's got. Have you been? Okay, I know you have. God's got this. And we saw that you can't speak about the glory of God without God showing up and manifesting his glory and his goodness. The manifest glory of God. Turn to Acts. I want to quickly just show you some of this manifest glory that God brought my attention to in the book of Acts. Acts, the third chapter. We saw that glory is not only transferable from Jesus to us, but it's something you can see. Huh? Moses' face shone with the glory. The woman in the mall last week, if you were here last week, God told her to go to the mall and a man would pray with her and she would be healed. And we saw following, she went to the mall and she said she saw a light and she followed that light and went in one department store and into another one. And finally she caught up with where the light was coming from. It was coming from a guy named Jerry Seville, one of the teachers of the word. She walked up and she told him, if you were here, you remember the story. She said, God told me that if I went to the mall, I would be healed, that there would be a man there to pray for me. He asked her first, said, how did you pick me out of all the crowd? She said, the light stopped with you. The Bible says the glory of the Lord shall stream from us. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Isaiah 61, darkness will cover the earth, but the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon thee. I'm so glad that though the darkness is come and coming and gross darkness shall cover the people, the light of God shall be seen upon us. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. So the darker it gets, the lighter we get. Amen. The greater the light in us. And so we saw it. He prayed for her. She was healed. Now here in Acts 3, we have yet another amazing scene of God's glory manifesting. And for a few moments, I want us just to look at it for a second. Acts 3. Let's look at the first verse. I want us to see in this message, Gary Wilkerson helps us, Dave Wilkerson's son, in a message called Show Us Your Glory. He highlights five things about the scene that tells us a lot about God's glory and how he desires to manifest it in his people's lives. Amen. I want to know about that, don't you? And so I have a word for those that are hanging on for dear life. Is anybody like that? Yeah. And even possibly begging for help that never seems to come. Amen. Acts, the third chapter. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. How'd they go up? Somebody talk to me. They went up what? I didn't hear you. Together. Wow. Hallelujah. How many think it'd be a good idea if we went up to the hour of prayer together? Being the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock. Daily prayer meeting. We're easy on you. It's at 6 o'clock. They started at 3. Hallelujah. And a certain man. Notice it was not just any man, but a certain man. God's looking at you certain. Amen. Not just anybody. God's concerned with you. A certain man. A certain lady. This is a man lame from his mother's womb. Was carried. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. To ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. How many can say that today? We need some glory. Amen. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. You can only give what you've got. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what is it? Rise up and walk. There's the glory. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Glory to God. It's great when you get lifted up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Who lifted him up? Peter, John, Jesus threw them. I may know God has given us the glory and the power to lift one another up. We're all lame in some way. Don't call me lame, Pastor. Come on. That was the worst thing you could call somebody when I was growing up in school. Hey, lame. Oh, man, that caused a fight. Amen. Verse 9, verse 8. And he, leaping up, glory to God, walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. How many know once God heals you, you ought to go walking and leaping and praising God? You ought to, shouldn't come in dragging when the saints come dragging in. I don't want to be in that number when the saints come dragging in. Come on. If God has healed you, you come in walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. See, the problem is, and the issue is that we need some more healing. I need some more healing. The one next to you needs some more healing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's goodness on its way. I said there's goodness on its way. If you don't get anything else today, if you don't get another thing I say, I'm telling you, goodness and mercy is following you right out of this service. It followed you in. It'll follow you out. The glory of God is on you. And I'm telling you, the devil is a liar. The glory of God and the goodness of God is coming to you at a station where you are. Woo, I'm sure glad, aren't you? Because there sure is a lot of other things that want to come where I'm at. But don't let that stop you. The glory will overtake that. The manifest glory of God. And so we see here what's happening, leaping and praising God. And the people saw him. Notice that, walking and praising God. See, there was something people could see. We talked last week about what do people see when they see you. We don't want to go there. That killed the anointing last week. Amen. Sometimes they see Jesus in the, I said I wasn't going there, didn't I? Okay. Verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. Unto him, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Notice he held them. The Bible says he was holding tightly to Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering this wonderful thing that had happened. Amen. The glory, God's glory, and how he desires to manifest it in his people's lives. Amen. Gary said this. He was talking about this glory and these five things that tell us about the glory and how he desires to manifest it in your life and my life and God's people. Notice in verse 11 is really our key verse there. The healed man clung to Peter and John. The image is here of someone clutching unashamedly, hanging on for dear life. It says that this man was saying, God's presence is real. I've sat here for years begging for help, but I've never experienced anything like this. He has stirred my soul beyond anything I've known. God loves to be clung to. Are you hearing me? What are you clinging to? Your gun? Your pepper spray? Oh. I mean, no, God loves a clinging heart. He loves a heart that pursues him, crying, Lord, your glory is too great to let it pass by. I cling. What am I clinging to? I'm clinging to the hope you give me. I'm clinging for the hope for healing, for transformation, for your presence in my life and in my word. I'm clinging. The Bible says he's a prisoner of hope. We're prisoners of hope. I'm hope. I'm clinging on. I'm believing. I'm trusting. I'm not giving up. Hope will keep you going. You ever get hopeless, it's over. I said it's over. People that commit suicide are hopeless. Hopelessness is taken over. Don't lose hope. God is the God of hope. He is hope. Keep hoping. Keep clinging to him. Cling tight to him. Get closer to him. God gave me a word for somebody the other day, and he says, get closer. You're not close enough. He said, there's a couple things you wanted God to do for you, and as soon as you start to get close, you back up. Get closer. I mean, it's hard to kiss somebody when you're across the room. Your lips ain't that long. What was that, Disneyland, liver lips or something? Yeah. Glory to God. The Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with thee. You got to get close enough to kiss somebody. Yeah, but a lot of God's people are just blowing kisses. It's so cute when a child does that. And I may know you ain't a child. And blowing kisses is really not befitting you with the living God. You can kiss the Son. I said you can kiss the Son, S-O-N. Whew, my God. Talks about relationship. Talks about you and him. I may know when it's you and him. God told me years ago, I said, God, when are you going to bring somebody in my life? He says, when you get close enough and you fall in love with me. He says, I'm not sharing you with anybody until you fall in love with me. I get first love, first fruits. And finally I said, forget it. I'm tired of asking, is this the one? Is that the one? Finally, I didn't care who the one was. Yeah. Come on, some of you have been there. I mean, you know, you think that's the one, that's the one. I, you know, you don't want, nobody likes to be alone. God says it's not good for a man or woman to be alone. Amen. Two are better than one. Hallelujah. You just got to get the right one. You don't get the right one, one is better. Amen. Oh, there I go again. Forgive me, I'm sorry. Clinging in hope. He clung. How close are you clinging? And what are you clinging to? Sometimes we cling to our money closer than we cling to God. We're clinging to our vocation, our job, closer than we cling to Him. God wants us to cling to Him first, foremost. The second highlight of what pleases God. It says all the people came to see what had happened. When God reveals His glory and power, there will not be a trifling response. The greatness of His power demands the attention of everyone around. Amen. Suppose the beggar's miraculous healing had happened in the church. All right, Pastor, we wouldn't be able to buy enough chairs to accommodate the throngs that would come. Now, I'm not referring to gawkers who love a spectacle. We're all hungry for the touch of God in our lives. Believers and non-believers alike are hurting today, wandering like lost sheep without a shepherd, hungering for what's real. So when God's glory manifests itself, bringing newness of life, it draws the attention of all, not just a few. Somebody say, send the glory. Yeah, we need the glory. And then three, all the people were utterly astounded, verse 11. When the people saw that the beggar was healed, they marveled. Nothing we know compared to this. Surely God is in this place. Let me ask you, do you want more from your life in God? Do you want His glory to come into your home, your marriage, your children's lives, and transform things so that all are astounded? The glory will do that. And guess what? God wants that. He wants you to be so astounded by His glory and transformed by it. And He wants the world around you to be so astounded that His glorious power brings new life to situations where defeat has been the rule. Amen. He wants to bring it into your situations. For the people ran. I ask you, wouldn't you run too? The heavenly glory that manifested in that place was so real, so pure and true, people were drawn as to a magnet. An inner voice told them what they were running toward was love. Hallelujah. And it gave them a sense of expectation. Are you expecting anything? I come expecting. I have an expectation. What are you going to do today, Lord? Hallelujah. And it gave them that expectation. God was on the move. And their soul's hunger was about to be filled. What hurting man, woman, or child wouldn't run to a place where lifelong troubles are answered by God, where deep miraculous healing takes place? This is what a true Jesus movement is. Amen? And it doesn't happen by plans, ingenuity, or organized events. It happens when God shows up. God showed up today. Hallelujah. Thank God. Healed some folks. It happens when He shows up and whenever His glory manifests, whether through faithful preaching or simple testimony, people will run to taste it. And five, last and not least, the people ran together to them. Now, at first look at this, I thought there was a crowd and they were stampeding, but that is not what's happening there. There is great significance in this word together. Somebody say together. Yeah, these people weren't scrambling to get past one another. They went as one, each humbled by the majestic power of God's presence. They went together. Together. I can tell you one thing again. In almost 40 years of pastoral, generally speaking, God's people are like trying to herd cats. Soon as they get out, they're gone. And then you got to round to try to get them again. Yeah, kitty, 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 kitty. Pretty kitty, pretty kitty, pretty kitty. The kitty, you know how kitties are. They look at you like, you dummy. I'm not coming in there. I know what you want. You want my money. I know what you want. Happy-luia, as Julian would say. Yeah. I want more, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. His glory. They went as one, each humbled by the majestic power of God's presence. His glory has that effect. Yeah, it had that effect in the second week here. It unifies us in awe. Did you see that? It unified. People were loving each other, forgiving one another, confessing their sins one to another where they had held unforgiveness and bitterness. It was a glorious thing, and we need more of it. Amen. They went as one. Indeed, it is God's desire for us to set aside our differences, forgive offenses, leave our offerings at the altar, and go to those who need our forgiveness or those who need to forgive us. Amen. We can't expect a glorious, awe-inspiring God to move in our midst if we cling in tongue to a tongue that speaks evil. Just keep looking down. I am. Amen. A heart that stews on grudges. A spirit that refuses to forgive another. Why would non-believers run to a church where malice and division rule? Why would anybody want to come in here if there's division ruling? Amen. If everybody's doing their own thing. God's acts of glory knit our hearts together, but how can we be knit if we refuse to lay down our divisions? In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of division. Last week, the Lord was rebuking the spirit of rebellion. We don't want to go there again, do we? You don't even want to hear that on the podcast. I'm warning you right now. Well, it was good. If you love God's word, you'll enjoy that word because God blessed it. Why is God's glory manifested in some churches and people but not others? Peter provides an answer in the scene here in the temple. He told those marveling people, he said, "Men of Israel, the God of Abraham," in verse 12 and 13, "Men of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus." He is the God of glory. He is the Father of glory. He says the glory of God will come in. Whew. God has placed all his majesty and glory and power in one source. It's Christ. His glory isn't made known in smart, powerful men or women or through brilliant plans or ingenious strategies. His glory is found in a single source, his servant Jesus. I want to talk to people who have felt abandoned. Can I speak a quick word on that? God gave me a word for people who feel abandoned. Can we be real this morning, or are we going to play church? And who hasn't felt abandoned at one time or another? Even by God. How many have prayed and prayed and prayed and... Yeah, right. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. The Hebrew people felt abandoned. If you remember in Egypt during those long years of slavery, they wondered if the Lord was still listening to their prayers. You ever wondered that? Was he still aware of their circumstances? Did he know what was happening to them and how much they were suffering? How many know we've got some people in here have suffering? They are suffering even now. We're just praying. We're believing God. But I tell you, the longer you suffer in a situation, the more abandoned you can feel. Amen? Did he know what was happening to them? They had cried out so many times and only heard silence. Has that ever happened to you? They didn't know that the Lord was listening. Oh, man. Sometimes I don't know the Lord is really listening. Amen? And preparing. Somebody say preparing. He was preparing a great deliverance. Which had to happen in a certain time, with a certain person. Through Moses, the Lord was making it known that he had not abandoned them. And perhaps you need to hear this as well. Have you been going through some tough times and wondered if the Lord is hearing your prayers? He wants you to know him as the one who sees, hears, and delivers. Said he wants you to know him and me to know him as the one who sees, hears, and delivers. I need to know him as the one that sees, hears, and delivers. Because there's situations in my life where it looks like he doesn't see, and he's not hearing, and he sure ain't delivering. Come on. But God sent me to tell you, to tell somebody, that he is your God, and he has already set in motion all the things needed to bring about your deliverance. Ooh, my God. I've been delivered, the Bible says. I'm being delivered, and I shall yet be delivered. Hallelujah! I'm being delivered right now. And I'll be being delivered tomorrow. And God will be delivering me from or to whatever it is. God is a delivering God. He's a God. He showed the people of Israel, I'm a God who delivers. And I set it up for you. I'm telling you, it's a setup, child of God. God has set your deliverance up. There's a certain day and a certain place and a certain way and a certain man. And all the singles ladies said, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. He set it in motion. It's already in motion. Tell somebody next to you, you will be delivered. There will be a delivery. Collect on delivery. Then, hallelujah. And the Lord said, I have seen the oppression of my people. I've seen it.
Anybody know about oppression?
I have to claim the verse, oppression shall be far from me. The Lord has executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. When oppression tries to come and does come, I say, all right, God has already issued, already given righteousness and judgment against that oppression. And the Bible says, oppression shall be far from me. Hallelujah. So you got to take the word and apply it, or else you'll sit there and continue to be oppressed. And devil, I will not be sick or lame or oppressed in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. Some of you are wearing the devil out, and I'm glad, because you keep coming back. He's getting weaker and weaker, and you're getting stronger and stronger. And finally, he's going to get so weak he falls off like a ripe fig. And you will receive because you're wearing him out. See, the Bible says he seeks to wear out the saints of God, especially in these last days. But I'll tell you what, we can wear him out. Glory to God. Take the switch of his word and wear him out. You ever have your mama wear you out? Glory to God. Yeah, she had a word, didn't she? Yeah. Bend over. Yeah. We don't want to remember those times. Amen. I've surely seen the oppression. I know their sorrows. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of whoever and whatever. So whoever and whatever you are, you're on notice. Don't mess with me. Whoever and whatever, put them on notice. God has come down to deliver me. I'm telling you right now, whatever's going on, oppression in your body, God has come down to deliver me. I speak it. I confess it. I declare it. God is speaking it now. My deliverance is assured. Woo! I'm praying it for myself, speaking it over me. Amen. You don't think I need deliverance? Huh? I need deliverance from you. No, I'm sorry. That was wrong. Who said that? I repent. That was the devil said that. Amen. Devil, get out of here right now in Jesus' name. Okay, look at somebody next to you one more time and says, yeah, we need to be delivered from him. Go on, tell him right now. He's always saying something. Said he's always saying something. Whoever and whatever, and whatever you're doing, whatever you've done, God is my deliverer. He's the God who created you. He knows you. He empowers you. He emboldens you. He wants you to know and understand who he is in relationship to you. He wants you to know more than what we know. We must never forget that the one who created you knows everything about you. That's scary. I tell you, that's scary. Aren't you glad he's the only one who knows everything about you? Yeah, it's none of your business. He knows and he loves me some. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know you ain't getting there because you're good enough? You will get there because you're forgiven. Hallelujah. Forgiven. Sins forgiven. That's how I'm going to get there. Woo. Glory to God. Yeah, don't forget the one who created you. He knows everything about you. And he's placed within you all the skills, he told me, and the abilities and the gifts you will need to succeed in your destiny. He can speak through you and speak to you even when you feel inadequate. Has anybody ever felt inadequate? He can bring healing in your life for those things which have no answer in the field of medicine and the things which have no answer in life as you know it. He can teach you everything you need to know at the exact moment when you need to know it. Glory to God. He is still your source for wisdom, knowledge, and counsel, understanding, and strength. Trust him. He has you covered. I said, he has you covered. I thank you, Lord, you got me covered. I feel uncovered. I feel vulnerable. Has anybody been there? But I declare I'm covered. He's got me covered. God told us and says, I've got this and I've got you. He is the source of every blessing and favor. He is the God who blesses and prevents anyone from bringing a curse on those he's blessed. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Stand with me as we thank God for the blessing. Amen. As you're standing, notice with me that receiving the blessing has put the name of the Lord on you. He wants to put his mark, his name on you. as he blesses every aspect of your life and work. I said, God's mark wants me to know as he blesses every aspect of your work and your life. Whew, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. God is blessing in a way I believe that we've never known before, every aspect of our work and our life. He wants to not only give you his shalom, peace and prosperity, everything is in his shalom, but also to establish it for you and your family. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still a consuming fire. He's still to be approached with holy fear and righteousness. He is still to be obeyed and honored and reverenced. If you want to experience the glory as they did, those have gone before us, you must begin to do what they did. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12. As I was doing the message, I see the seraphims and the cherubims crying, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Oh, we have more morning glories on our lattice this year than ever before. Julian counted 60 morning glories at one juncture. Wow. I come out every morning, there's a bunch more, 30 the other day. I've never had that many morning glories since the vine began to grow. It comes back every year. Take off the old and bring the new. But I take it as a sign. Morning glory. I go over and kiss it. "Hi, morning glory. How you doing? Glory to God." God says there's glory on them and there's glory on you. The glory of the Lord is in the house. I give you praise for it, Lord. Now, Father, confirm your word with signs following. You said the Lord working with them, Mark 16, confirming the word. Someone shout, "Confirm the word." Confirm the word, Lord. Confirm the word. Father, I speak a confirming word now in the name of Jesus. As we leave this place, as we go to our places, habitation, and wherever you lead us, Lord, I thank you for the confirming even now while we're standing in your presence. I thank you for the glory of the Lord that has risen upon us. I thank you for that glory that will take us into our greater purpose and destiny. I thank you for these last days, this end time. You will do your greatest work. You will bring your greatest harvest. Those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We are not afraid because you have taken fear from us. We are not afraid. Goodness and mercy is following us. Whenever anything else follows us, we remind whatever's following, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail. Jesus never fails. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Amen. Amen. Psalms 24, and I won't keep you long. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell in it. He hath founded upon the seas. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, she shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of their salvation. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob." Think about it. That's what we're doing here today, seeking his face. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Every one of you is a gate, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. You are that gate. You are that door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up that door, woman, I will come in and I will sup with him or her." Glory to God. Who is the King of glory? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lord, I thank you for being mighty in battle. Thank you for being mighty in our battles, Lord. The battle is the Lord's. You're mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift up them up, you everlasting doors. Why don't we lift up our head? And he says, the King of glory will come in. God, we won't hang our heads, but we will lift up our heads. We will lift up our voices. We will lift up our praise. We will lift you up. and the King of Glory. Whew. No doubt about it, shall come in. Shall come in. Come in, King of Glory. Come into that life right now. Come into that living. Come into that place. Come into that purpose, that destiny. Come into where they are so they can come to where you are. Oh God, he shall come in. If you lift up your head, who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. He is Jehovah Sabaoth, commander of all the angels and all hosts of heaven. Jehovah Sabaoth, we bless you. Lord of hosts, you will come in. My God, I feel angels in this service right now. Lord, if we ever needed you to come in, it's today. If we ever needed you, it's now. Our world needs you so desperately. So many families need you right now. Oh, God, we need you. We want you. We love you. We bless you. We lift up our heads. We lift up our hearts with our hands, you said. And come bless the Lord. Would you bless him for 30 seconds? Just lift up. He's coming into your life. Coming into your life. He's coming into your situation. He's coming into your circumstance. The King of Glory will come in. Strong and mighty. Jehovah Sabaoth. The Lord of all the hosts of heaven. Send angels, Lord. Send angels, whatever's needed today. Deliver your beloved. Deliver your daughters and your sons. Deliver your church. Deliver this nation, Lord. Deliver this state. Deliver our city. Deliver us, great deliverer. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you. We welcome you. We love you. We bless you. Now receive a blessing right now. Would you reach forth your hand and receive his blessing? The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Favor. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. Lift you up in the place you belong, giving to you the things ordained from the foundation of the world. And may the Lord give you peace that passes all your understanding. It will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, I thank you for this assembly and this congregation. They are blessed of the Lord. I thank you. This will be, I claim, the greatest week of their life. Thank you for breakthroughs. Thank you for what you're doing. The blessing of the Lord be upon you. God bless you and God keep you. I love you. God loves you. Love one another. I'll see you if you're in town Wednesday night. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Amen. Don't barbecue your brother. Barbecue whatever it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Your pastor. I love you. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Amen.